Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who better to talk about this story than a former host of this very show? It is the great Ian Furness, KJR Radio in Seattle. Sir.
Like a lifetime ago, huh? Like that's a decade plus you guys have been on the air.
I know. Somehow we've yet to be fired. We think it's some sort of clerical error. Like we were fired in like 2007 and no one told us.
Well, I think you guys have survived like five different GMs and program directors, or haven't you? I mean, that's something else.
Yeah, but I think the real story is that you left here and you've been on the air as long as we have in a much larger market.
Yeah, but I thought I taught you guys. I mean, you can trick them for a while, you know, but I've moved around a little bit. Went from a night show to a day show, had Puckett, lost Puckett. And now I work by myself. I don't play well with others, apparently. I think that's what they told me.
Right. You're a regular Colin Cowherd.
Well, let's not get carried away. I don't even want to go down that road. How are you guys?
We're great. We're great. Now, I'm a little disappointed you were scooped by Z101 in the Dominican Republic on this Robbie Cano story, though.
Yeah, I was, too. I tend to try to break all stories Dominican related to, and it was
right.
that one got away from me, but I don't know, frankly, I'm just stunned. An aging baseball player that's having a really solid year is popped for PEDs. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, so we were talking about this in our first segment, but I was looking at Cano's, you know, sort of his history, and you know, he came into the league at age 22 and he has been pretty much healthy the entire time, and it makes me wonder if he hasn't been doing something the whole time in order to stay healthy. Have you ever heard any rumblings about Robbie Cano before this pop today?
I haven't, Isaac, but I mean, I think with him, you know, I mean, there's so many other guys in baseball that have been popped, and it's almost, I don't want to say it's become acceptable, but I mean, it, just in his own clubhouse, Nelson Cruz and D. Gordon, each in the last couple of years, have been popped with different organizations. And, you know, it now it happens. It kind of comes, it goes. You serve your suspension and you move on. But, you know, I had not heard that. Nobody really had. But I think it's unfortunate because it's all, you know, there's just suspicion. Anytime somebody has a good season or gets better with age or doesn't get hurt, in baseball, there's always that little cloud hanging over guys. And for him, you know, I mean, there's so many different ramifications from this. At the end of the day, you know, I couldn't care less about Robbie Cano and his legacy. I couldn't care less. I mean, I've been a Mariner fan since 77. I'd like the team to break a 17-year drought in the postseason. And I think this clown decided that he's going to screw it up. And so that pisses me off. But if you're looking at a legacy and if you're one of those guys that wants to talk about Hall of Fame and things like that, I don't know how Robbie Cano is any different than Rafael Palmeiro or anybody else.
Yeah, it's like Cano's one of the guys, like he signed that monster deal to come over and people were balking at it, but you make the argument, and I think it's a pretty easy one, that Robbie Cano has been worth the money. Yeah, I know the team hasn't had success, but Cano had lived up to that contract, and it just your general perception on what fans are thinking, because from my understanding, you know, Cano is a beloved member of that team and community, and just what people are going to think of this.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, or in the case of Cano, it's, what, 11.8, because that's what he's going to lose. But, yeah, I mean, on my show today, it was simple. It's like, I mean, if you're a Mariner fan, I don't know how you would cheer this guy on. I mean, the only thing that saves him in terms of his perception as far as the fan base is concerned, because so they're 23-17. They're a game and a half out of first in the division. They're a game and a half out of the wild card. You can make a strong argument that they're probably one of the top six teams in the American League this year. What's going to be a really competitive American, I mean, I would say a very top-heavy American League is probably the best way to put it. And you can't win the division now, but you can certainly lose it. If they don't get to the postseason, he's largely to blame. And if they do get to the postseason and they don't win a World Series because he can't play, he's largely to blame. I mean, he's really put a black cloud over the entire year because he's been a, pick your negative adjective. Stupid, selfish, ignorant, whatever it is, none of them are good.
What are guys doing, man? I get it for the marginal bros, these guys that are looking to get paid, but Robbie Cano has been in the league a long time. He's making $24 million a year. I just don't understand why now, particularly with the harsher penalties, that a guy would risk it. I mean, what they're doing must be amazing.
Well, I mean, Isaac, think about it. I mean, remember, it's a masking agent he got popped for. And, so he was doing something, and then he got popped because he tried to hide doing something.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing that's most egregious to me. There's people up here that are debating, it's steroids, and I don't really care if it's a PED, and, we lump all PEDs into the term steroids now. It's kind of become like Coke or Coca-Cola, it's not that. It's a PED. He was doing PEDs of some sort, and then he tried to hide those PEDs. For what reason, I don't know. He's got his money. It's guaranteed. It's baseball. It's not going away. I guess maybe it's a pride factor. But I think it goes back, Isaac, to what you first said. I mean, or Suk said, how long? I mean, did he just decide to do it this year? Is this the first time, or is this the first time he got popped? Because, we all know, and Suk, you're probably more aware of it than any, as things have evolved in locker rooms over the years, it's become more and more sophisticated ways to hide stuff. But now, baseball and other sports are getting ahead of the masking agents, and that's what this guy got popped for.
Yeah, and the excuse that he's using about that doesn't hold water because, Major League Baseball doesn't automatically suspend for masking agents. They say they have to have proof that he was using it for that purpose. Well, he appealed. Major League Baseball investigated, found evidence of it, obviously, and he dropped the appeal. So clearly, the Major League Baseball, this isn't just he had a masking agent. They've got the goods on him that he was using this to mask.
He cheated. He broke the rules. Here's the problem. At the end of the day, like the rules, it's the rules. There's a lot of things in a lot of different businesses you can and can't do. And in baseball, you're not allowed to do this. I mean, I use the analogy today. Listen, marijuana is legal in, 9 states now? It's basically you can smoke marijuana legally in a lot of different states. But a lot of jobs, you can't smoke marijuana. Construction, heavy lifting, you're running a crane at the port. Maybe you're in the media, whatever it might be. Hell, you're an athlete, college athletics, and getting a Division I scholarship. You can't smoke marijuana. Well, then just don't do it. It's really simple. If you want to have that profession or that job or that scholarship, you don't do it. You don't break the rule. I mean, this is, at the end of the day, a very simple thing. You're not supposed to do performance-enhancing drugs, and if you do, you sure as heck better not try to mask them. And he did both and got caught, and now he pays the price. More importantly, and this is what bothers me, and I haven't even looked to see what Big John Sakanik has to say on Twitter today, the world's largest Mariners fan. I'm sure he's probably ready to kill somebody today. I don't even want to see what that's going on. That's probably just an epic meltdown.
Yeah.
But guys like him and others that are emotionally invested, think about this. If you bought tickets, maybe you bought a 20-game package to a competitive team, and you're invested, you're all in on this. This guy effectively has ruined a season. He's your best player. And it's one thing to be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken hand. It's another thing to be out 80-plus games, not come back till mid-August, and then miss the postseason. This guy has screwed over a fan base, a clubhouse, a front office, people selling tickets. It's unacceptable. On every level, it's unacceptable.
This is Ian Furness, KGR Radio up in Seattle. I agree. Since Ryan Braun, this is by far the biggest star that's gotten hit for this, and it must be worth it or he wouldn't do it. And I think that is a very interesting and big question you raise, and that is, how much does this have to do with why he's good in the first place? Yeah. When you look at his whole
career. Whether it's fair or not, this will cloud everything he's done. And guys like this will bitch and moan and say, one thing doesn't define my career. But when we don't know when you started and when you finished, everyone, fair or not, will put his entire, 15-year Major League career, a Hall of Fame career, will all be put under a suspicious lens.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, I mean, look at, you better put together a couple really good years after this that are clean. I mean, like, D. Gordon's done that. Like, D. Gordon got popped a couple years ago. weird because Barry Bonds was his batting coach then. I don't know what, there's no connection, I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, he gets popped, but he's come back, and I mean, I'm sure he gets tested probably as much, you know, every other day now, and he's obviously clean and having a career year, having a great year. You know, so his, you know, he's been able to kind of clear his name, but you're right, you're 30-plus years old, your name is Robinson Cano, you get popped now with a masking agent, everything. And it is fair. Honestly, it is fair to judge him that way because he's put himself in that position.
Hey, let me ask you, I'm doing a little Perry Mason work on another topic, and I haven't been able to talk to you off the air. I'll just ask you on the air. I want to talk to you about Paul Allen. First of all, how is he viewed in Seattle, and how do you think he thinks he's viewed in Seattle?
He's on a pedestal, Roper. He's at the top of the list. He saved football in Seattle, got a stadium built, brought a championship here, a Super Bowl championship, which is, I mean, I think we'd all come to the agreement that the number one team championship in this country is the Super Bowl. He did that. He's thought very, very highly of in Seattle on every level. As far as what his perception of his, of how people think of him, I think it's pretty good. You know, he's got people around him, you know, he's in the Seahawks organization that I think, you know, give him a good idea. But, and maybe a guy like that isn't too concerned with it. But, I mean, he came to the rescue of our organization up here, you know, many years ago. And by and large, I mean, the hiring of Mike Holmgren was a home run. The hiring of Jim Mora was not, but I think you can square that on Ruskell. They changed that after 1 year, and they went out and hired Pete Carroll and John Schneider. I mean, what he's done with his football team is he doesn't accept anything less than excellence, and he's perceived in a very high regard here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it does matter to him. If you go read his book, Idea Man, of course, that was him responding to all the stuff about Bill Gates was the real brain behind Microsoft and all that. He's a sensitive guy. And I think what I'm getting at is down here in Portland, I think he feels like he's underappreciated here. And what I'm getting at is I wonder if, and this is where you come in, I wonder if there is an opportunity for him as one last legacy play to bring the Sonics back to Seattle. Are you hearing anything? Because you guys are getting hockey, right? Like, what percentage right. lock is NHL to Seattle?
99.9.
Right, yeah. Right. So let me ask you the same question about what percentage lock is the NBA back to Seattle? Because when the NBA goes back to Seattle, of course, they kept the Sonics name. It will be the Sonics, which is the team that he originally fell in love with that ultimately led to him buying the Blazers.
I'd say the NBA will be back. It's just a question of its when. The NHL, just for the context here, the NHL will be back in Seattle, will come to Seattle fall of 2020. They're going to award the franchise in June, probably at the NHL Awards or at the draft, which are 2 days apart. They'll conditionally award the franchise. They'll make it official in the fall, but it's a done deal. The NHL owners / arena operators are redoing what used to be Key Arena, Oakview Group, the Leiwicki brothers and others, Jerry Bonderman, or Jerry Bruckheimer and David Bonderman are the owners, Bruckheimer the producer. I asked them point blank. I had them in studio 2 months ago, a month ago. They said that they want the NBA, they'll want to be partners, all that kind of stuff, but they want to let the NHL get on its feet for a couple of years. So I think the earliest we would see the NBA back is probably 2023, 2024, somewhere in there. I don't think they're going to want it back until the NHL is firmly established. That was what they basically said. So I think it'll come back. Now, as far as Paul Allen's involvement, I've always thought that made sense, Isaac. I always have. He would be, I mean, that's his last crowning legacy here in Seattle. He would be a conquering hero. And he's a basketball guy. I mean, we all know that. I mean, I'm sure he's watching workouts and everything else when that comes up. I mean, hell, he drafted Martell Webster.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent. You know, all three of us saw that up close. But I think he'd love to do that. Whether or not he sells the, I mean, that makes sense. But I think we're at least, what would that be, 5, 6, 7 years away?
Yeah.
Well, just, but their just, lease at, well, and not that it matters. He owns the Rose Garden, but yeah. For, in terms of the city, their lease is up here in 2025.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's there's a perfect timing then.
Yeah. See what I'm getting at?
The perfect timing because that's 2025 is the number I've heard. For
yeah.
Seattle.
So yeah. I've heard that Paul. Yeah, I've heard that, and this is just a rumor. This is rumblings. These aren't confirmed. I'm no Ian Furness level journalist here.
You're not Dominican Lou breaking stories right on Robbie Cano.
I'm not a Z101 in Dominican Republic, but I have heard rumblings that Paul Allen may want to sell the Blazers. Several reasons. One, he fought for small markets in the last CBA and he lost. So he knows he can't keep up in this new super team environment. He lost LaMarcus Aldridge. And if you look at their moves over the last handful of years, he's kind of lost his urgency. He used to fire GMs right and left and say, no, this isn't good enough. Let's win. Yeah, let's go.
Win now.
And he's just not doing that. I think he feels underappreciated in Portland, unlike in Seattle, which is what I was getting at with you. And I don't think he exactly has a love affair with Portland. And I also believe that MLB to Portland could be happening, which he'll hate. And then there's the whole Sonics thing, the reason that he fell in love with the NBA, and that would be his last legacy play. Have you heard anything about this at all anywhere up there with Paul Allen?
I haven't heard that, but it makes, I'll tell you this, it makes sense. Everything you laid out makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world. I just go back to him. I mean, basketball being his first love, Seattle still his hometown. You know, I mean, the Blazer moves are interesting because, you know, from afar, what I see is you're right. I mean, when I was there and we're watching that thing every day, I mean, it didn't matter who the GM was. I mean, Whitsitt, Nash, you know, Pritchard, whatever. It didn't matter. Like, the fact that the guy there keeps his job after some of the contracts he's laid out is unbelievable. Okay. I mean, I'm blown away by that. That's a basketball team with that backcourt. And just watching what Utah did this year, you should be able to compete as a small market team, but you can't be giving certain dudes those kinds of contracts. Yeah. It's as simple as that. I mean, that's a fireable offense for a GM. The draft has to be your lifeblood, and you know, there's been a couple more misses than hits. Contracts have been bad, and yeah, usually in the past, Paul Allen sitting there baseline would watch a game and go, yeah, this isn't acceptable, man. You've got an elite coach, great coach in Terry Stotts. You've got as good a backcourt, not named Clay and Steph, as there is in the Western Conference, at least. You've got a couple pieces up front. So your GM's got to do a better job. Yeah, why wouldn't he do that? As far as baseball, I know you guys can't get a stadium built because if you do that, that means you won't ever be able to cure homelessness. So I wouldn't hold your breath on that.
Right. It's
one or the other, right?
Yeah,
homelessness. Right. And education or a baseball stadium. That's the way it works.
They're going to do both. They're going to build a stadium, and then there's like a homeless shelter out in the, left field stands. No,
the crowd is going to be homeless people.
Yeah, it's like put them out in the outfield, like in the nosebleeds. It'll work out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
They could do that in Oakland, and they still wouldn't fill the building. So.
All right, well, keep your ear to the ground on that Paul Allen thing. My spidey senses are tingling down here, and I'd like to see if you – you know, if a real journalist like yourself comes up with something on that, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Well, that means I got to work, and listen, man, I'm going to the golf course right now. I'm off the air at 3 o'clock. I don't really want to. This work stuff is not what I'm in. You guys know that.
Yeah, you're lazy, but it doesn't have to be today.
Yeah,
you know?
Just somewhere down the road, you'll stumble across something.
Keep your ears open. Thank you, Ian.
I will say hi to Big John for me. Tell him to be okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.